The Cooper Hewitt, Peace by Design, by Jeanette Cooperman. One of this summer's big exhibits at the Cooper Hewitt, America's Design Museum, explores the unique role design can play in pursuing peace. How many people will hear that and roll their eyes? So often, the visual arts either content themselves with dark, bitter commentary, or stay out of the fray altogether. The notion of involving design in the solution feels so optimistic that even I am skeptical. Okay, great, but how? Huge forces of geopolitical contest, power, greed, oppression, and just a slingshot of imagination against them? A slingshot with velocity. Moving through the exhibit, pausing, stunned at one project after another, you realize just how powerful design can be and how many ways it can work. In 2011, the Colombian Ministry of Defense collaborated with an ad agency in Bogota on campaigns to persuade rebels to disarm and, what could easily have been a cliche, come home for Christmas. But the poster series the agency created, In a Mother's Voice, distills emotion into a single short paragraph that appears below tender childhood photos. Before being a guerrilla fighter, you are my daughter, or my son. This Christmas, I wait for you at home. Demobilize. During Christmas, everything is possible. I stand there a long time, imagining those words landing. Several of the projects in the exhibit focus on empathy and information as the foundation for change. The Conflict Kitchen is a takeout restaurant in Pittsburgh that offers food from countries in conflict with the U.S. The Papers, Please video game makes you a low-level border agent who must decide, within a tangle of bureaucracy, subjectivity, and conflicting agendas, who can enter the country and who should be rejected and arrested. I'm scared even to play. Other projects urge accountability. Harass Map turns anonymous reports into data and maps locations where Egyptian women experience daily sexual harassment. Shimmering metallic rugs are woven from, look closely, discarded bullet casings. They were collected in Colombia, Guatemala, Lebanon, Mexico, Spain, and here in the U.S. And their markings can track international arms trafficking routes, backdoor diplomacy, and secret military interventions. Unraveling the NSU complex chills you with a floor diagram from the 2006 neo-Nazi murder of Helit Yozgat in Kassel, Germany. Made possible when Hessen police documents were leaked, the diagram pinpoints the positions of various witnesses, including a German intelligence agent who claimed not to have seen the murder. It's a relief to move to the warmth of the teeter-totter wall. Three hot pink seesaws poked through the slats of the grim steel U.S.-Mexico border wall. They rise and fall between Juarez on one side, El Paso on the other. The Rails and Fratello design partners tried to ask the border guards for permission to install the teeter-totters. They were ignored and did it anyway. Children immediately climbed onto the teeter-totters, soon joined by their moms. Life must continue, remarks Ronald Rail on the companion video. And what is life without joy? Design can bring it. It can also connect. That much is obvious. Startblock Elsenhagen is a model for affordable housing that creates community between young refugees and Dutch kids the same age. They share public spaces, hallways, common areas, and through all these chance encounters, they find common ground in more profound ways. I imagine them easing into camaraderie, taking the chance of teasing one another, flirting a little, learning, and then relaying what they learned to their parents and letting it shape the rest of their lives. Peace also comes from inclusion, hence STALLED, a design and research initiative for a new restroom at the Cooper Hewitt. The proposal includes a meditation room. There's a welcome area, a wet area, no fuss over gender. All the stalls have full privacy doors and their own sinks and mirrors, and a lounge area. The restroom looks so instantly comfortable, it reminds me of Christopher Alexander's pattern language, which urged architecture at a human scale, in line with how we most want to sleep, eat, relax, and interact. Odd that this is so hard to achieve. It need not even cost more, the usual excuse. But we get sidetracked by fads, clashes of opinion, self-indulgent showboating, bland, easy conformity. What might Andrew Carnegie have thought of this Design for Peace exhibit? The Cooper Hewitt is housed in his Fifth Avenue mansion, the home where he oversaw so many philanthropic projects at the end of his life. The man who dies rich dies disgraced, he said at his life's end, echoing an impulse he had felt even at 33 when he vowed to stop work in 2 years and pursue a life of good works. To continue much longer, overwhelmed by business cares and with most of my thoughts wholly upon the way to make more money in the shortest time, must degrade me beyond hope of permanent recovery, he wrote. But instead of quitting, Carnegie continued to build the American steel industry, making millions in the process. 3 decades later, his company was producing more steel than all of Great Britain. And though he talked a good game, he had been ruthless, pulling his profits from workers by slashing their wages and crushing their unions. Once Carnegie was pronounced the richest man in the world, with the help of manager Henry Clay Frick and a buyout by J.P. Morgan, two other titans now better known as museums, he did step aside, turning from industry to his dream of world peace. One of the first to call for a League of Nations, he built a Palace of Peace that evolved into the World Court. He funded schools and libraries so people would be sufficiently educated, well-read, moral, and civilized to use international law for mediation. Andrew Carnegie's idealism echoes through this summer's exhibit. So do the darker contradictions of his life. This is an exhibit that mixes emotions. Its dedication, optimism, and creativity refresh you. But the variety and range of the installations reminds you just how much of our world is not at peace, for a gamut of reasons. Design can illustrate that, maybe even amend it, but cannot erase the causes, any more than Carnegie could seize the cool calculus of his business practices. The world should be one puzzle, murmurs a museum guard at the exhibit entrance, and each place puts its piece in so it all fits. Resources and food should be shared by everyone. That is the ultimate design for peace. And it runs against all of our worst instincts.